WICW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You die. I went to your funeral.
The city is saving.
I say you have the right to remain silent, but
I don't want to be called blood anymore.
Sir, I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen. And
I'm Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely.
Heroes. Legends. You have failed this city.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on CW, the Flash Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. It's available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. And once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. I'm going to be your host this evening, Lauren, and I have Steve and Bob with me.
Hey. He just stared at me like, am I supposed to talk first?
I was waiting for Bobby.
Yeah, hello? You're fine. You were first. You get to go first.
Hi.
Perfect. Crushing it. All right. So,
coming out hot.
Yeah. What an aggressive start to the second half of the season.
Hey, we're coming back from a break, right?
Touché.
Yeah. I mean, me and Lauren got a whole like hour and a half of radio in us. So
yeah.
we're ready to go.
Whole hour and a half.
Ish.
Yeah. Ish. All right. So today we're going to be breaking down and discussing The Flash Season 4, Episode 10, The Trial of the Flash. Barry Allen's day in court as the team tries to deal with the nuclear meta fallout. So it was a lot of stuff happening in one episode. A lot of high stakes stuff at once.
It was weird. I was reading some of the reviews about what was going on because, you know, just trying to get what the interwebs feel is. And sure. People were like, why did they have a villain of the week? And I was like, oh, wow. I don't know if you understood the whole like
entire parallel thing,
which we'll get into. But I just thought it was weird that they were like expecting like Law and Order, I guess, the Flash edition.
Bum, bum.
I didn't have the sound effect ready. I was like, why did I say that? Not have that ready. I'm so unprepared.
Here I am to poorly do it for you. You get the poor man's version of the sound drop. Well, let's talk news before we get into the episode. Within this episode of The Flash, there's some speculation on a name drop. So they sent all of the radiation from our villain of the week, Fallout, to Earth 15. Sci-fi.com put out an article talking about how the Flash just name dropped Earth 15 and what they think that could mean for the Arrowverse, which is not unreasonable, but I mean, I don't know. Are we going to get our hopes up for it? So here's the whole thing. They sent all of that radiation to Earth 15 because they were told Earth 15 is a dead Earth. So why is Earth 15 dead? Well, Superman Prime destroyed that Earth. He literally destroys the entire planet because he's an evil Superman and he's super powerful. And he just decided to do that. He was mad about stuff. That's a really broken down. He was just kind of in a bad mood that day. So he just, you know, whatever.
He just like broke it down in the tweet, like in what, 240 or 80 characters and less.
Right.
He was just mad.
He was just mad, man. Sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes
Hashtag
you wake up a little
day.
Grumpy and you destroy an entire planet because you're just that powerful and mean. Okay. So Earth 15 was an Earth where there was virtually no crime. The superheroes were I don't know. They weren't really the originals. They were like the sidekicks and the proteges, and they'd become the heroes. They had taken on the mantles. So Wonder Woman is Donna Troy. Jason Todd has taken up the mantle of Batman. Zod is Superman on Earth 15 and not Kal-El. There's a Green Lantern, and there's Jessica Palmer instead of Ray Palmer, who is the Atom there. So the planet gets destroyed, and Jessica Palmer escapes, and so does someone else.
Green Lantern.
Is it Green Lantern?
Mm-hmm.
But they escape. There's a couple survivors. I don't know.
Are they're we looking too much into it?
Yeah, they're speculating that we might see Superboy, aka Superman Prime. And we don't need to totally get into him. That's a whole other thing. But he's a mean butthole who destroyed Earth 15. And
is there a nice butthole? Well, oh, jeez.
You watch enough porn, you're probably going to see one.
Gross.
Listen. Those ladies pay a lot of money to get nice hair removal and bleaching so it's nice and presentable for the world to be.
Gotta bleach the brown eye.
Oh, God. Okay. But I don't know. They're speculating that they just fired a lot of radiation to an Earth they were told is 100% dead. But is it? The Earth 15 versions of Green Lantern and the Atom escaped the planet before it was destroyed by Superman Prime. So there's no reason to assume that the Arrowverse couldn't also have an Earth 15 where there are some survivors. Okay, fine, whatever. But now they're saying, you know, one of the reasons Earth 15 is discovered in the first place is because some of the other Earth DC heroes are in search of Ray Palmer. Ray is currently time traveling on Legends of Tomorrow. So they're saying that, you know, hey, maybe they could end up on a parallel Earth. It's not too far-fetched. And then they bring up Supergirl's elephant in the room, Superman, because people loved Tyler Hoechlin's performance so much, but he's seldom used because it would detract from the heroism of Supergirl and her being the title character. That's a bit problematic.
So you always wonder, because we'll get into this in the Arrow, but we've had like the edict put out that the movie characters are off limits again.
Yeah.
So, you know, should we ever put hope in any of them, including Superman now?
Also, do we need Superman?
No.
Supergirl's a good show in its own right.
Oh, it's she's amazing.
A good. Yeah, she's a good hero in her own right. Superman is cool every now and then to bring in for a fun episode, maybe, and that's it. We don't need more than that.
Yeah.
They do mention that like supposed fight between Superman and Eobard Thawne that was mentioned on Legends, and like that's cool and fun, but also who cares? They name drop a lot of stuff. They talk about a lot of things that we're not going to see happen because there's just no reasonable time for it. You know?
It could be a non-event.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty lengthy article. It's going pretty deep into a lot of nothing.
It's like that fan service article.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Someone got excited at that name drop.
Earth 15 is my favorite Earth.
Earth Prime!
I'm all right about Earth 15.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. They talk about the Cosmic Grail, which is a supposed fragment of Earth 15. It's just, there's so much stuff here, and it's a lot, you know, it's a lot. And they say, you know, hey, if this all sounds far-fetched, just remember the show's writers could have name-dropped any place for Cisco to filter out Fallout's radiation, but they chose Earth 15. Okay, shut up, because Earth 15 is the only dead Earth that's been, actually discovered. If you pull up DC, if you go on DC's website, you can literally pull up a map of the multiverse.
Yeah.
And it's interactive, and you can like, you know, roll over those and say, oh, hey, look, this is Earth 10, which is Earth X, and blah, 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 which we're familiar with because of Crisis on Earth X. So there's a lot of stuff there. You're honestly not really gonna. What other option was there? You know, where else are you going to put that without destroying an entire planet, basically, or a country?
Well, if it wasn't dead before, it could be dead now.
Right?
They pumped so much into that.
Ooh,
or at least
boy.
Put a big dent in it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, sci-fi, for that little trip. The next bit of news that we've got is a little more concrete, a little more solid here. So we speculated a little while back that Wally West would potentially be a good addition to the Legends of Tomorrow team. You know, he wasn't really finding his footing. He wasn't really finding his place in the Flash. He felt like just an extra bit of baggage. We weren't really liking how he was interacting with people, and he just felt unnecessary. You know, why have so many speedsters? Well, guess what? Cinema Blend reported that Legends of Tomorrow has officially added Kid Flash to the team. He's going to be filling one of the vacancies left by Martin Stein and Jax, aka Firestorm, as a unit, since they're no longer on the show. And I won't say anything more than that in case anyone hasn't watched that.
She's cutting onions. Don't mind the tears.
It's fine. Everything's fine. But yeah, so, I mean, he's not going to be on the series when it returns for the first episode, but he will be in the following episode. So that's not going to be until a month from now. But
2073.
No, it's February 19th.
Okay.
But he will officially join the team full time in episode 13 of Legends of Tomorrow. So that's, I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, so there's the answer for all those people wondering where Wally is.
I think that's a good, that's a good place for him.
No, it's definitely a good fit.
Do you think he'll find his footing over there?
I just think you get lost.
I think so.
Yeah, because he gets lost with speedsters.
Oh, I agree.
Well, and there's, so Cinema Blend. Ugh, Cinema Blend's article, I'm getting too excited, talking too fast. Their article talks about how the real story behind Wally's leaving was that the show's writers struggled to come up with scenarios to justify two speedsters on the show. And they quietly kind of wrote him off to keep things moving and to keep things interesting and to keep a struggle. Because if you have too many speedsters, you know, you could kind of outnumber certain enemies, and what do they really have to go up against? You know, like, I don't know.
Especially when you think about the way Wally West is looked at in the comic book community. Like, you know, some will call him the Flash, not Barry Allen, you know, being the better of the two Flashes.
Yeah.
And I think you can't do that with him and let him go out to his full potential with Barry being there.
No, you can't. I mean, he's always going to be Kid Flash. He's always like, but in almost a condescending way, you know, in like a, yeah, kid, you're the sidekick. Whereas Kid Flash could be an endearing name for him if he's got his own team. I think it's appropriate. They have a quote from Phil Klemmer, one of the executive producers, and he said, we loved working with Keenan in our series premiere, the episode in which we learned that in between seasons 2 and 3, he had been fighting crime in Central City with Nick Zano's Nate Haywood, which, first of all, I love. I love that, like, they're going to bring back that tiny little snippet of, I don't know, cool interaction that we got in the series, the season premiere of Legends.
Planted the seed.
Yeah. So when his character stepped away from Flash to go on a walkabout after being dumped and feeling somewhat estranged from his family and team, we knew that Wally West would fit in perfectly on Legends. After all, our show is about a collection of unlikely heroes who all began their journeys questioning who they are and where they belong, only to find those answers while traveling through time and having wacky adventures. So now Wally West is not only back in the company of old friends from the Arrowverse, he's fighting alongside a former enemy and career arsonist, Nick Rory. And by the end of this season, Wally will learn that the Legends have a different definition of what it means to be a hero. I'm into it. I honestly think that his personality is going to fit in so much more, and the actor is going to be able to really shine in the role and bring his own personality into it a little bit more with a different vibe, a different feel.
It's like going to the new school. Like going to a new school. Like, I'm going to reinvent myself.
Do you think you'll get more FaceTime?
Yeah.
Like a lot more spotlight on
you? Yeah, absolutely.
You don't watch Legends, do you?
I don't.
No, they do a pretty good job of like equal time. There's not a lot of, oh, well, he's just in his bed today and not coming out of his bunk.
Yeah. Yeah, they
work as a team very well.
They do, and the team has been very successful at being a team. It's the one show where there haven't really been any major rifts between people. Like, we're going to break up the team because someone had a secret.
Why don't they include
me? Oh boy, shots fired.
Yeah.
No, it really is. It is the only teamwork show that we have, that no matter what goes on or what goes bad, that they come together.
This season, anyway. Yes. Because they did have that problem in the past, and then they fixed they fixed the team, we'll say, and the roster, and then it's been smooth sailing ever since, and it's refreshing to see that in a show.
If you don't the undertones there is they got rid of the cock people.
Got it.
Hawk girl and hawk man were not well received. So I don't know. We've got a little bit here that says that Brandon Routh seemed to imply that Wally's run on the show may not last all that long. His response was based on earlier comments made by CW president Mark Pedowitz regarding Wally West joining the team. So it's possible he just said that as to not give away today's news. But even if his stint is short-lived, it's certainly better than the presence he's had on Flash this season. So we shall see. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see Wally West blossom more as a character.
It's your last chance, buddy.
I mean, honestly, you know what, though? I will say the couple times that he's been back, or like the one time really that he's been back since he left, when he was on Flash, he changed his hair a little bit, stuff like that. Wally West as a character, and I don't know if it's because of the actor or what, but he just seemed more confident. He seemed like he felt more comfortable in the role. I liked him more as a character in the very small amount of time that we saw him back.
So you want some? Ryan just sent the link for the story we are actually talking about right now.
What an idiot.
Guy can't be here, and this might be the first story he's ever sent me for the show.
Like ever.
Ever.
The worst part I'm talking about.
Yes,
yeah,
and I'm
live talking
right
about it.
Usually I don't break it down like that, but it's just fucking funny.
No, we're shaming him on air. Live on air. Ryan Denton, you schmuck.
That is so funny.
Oh, God. All right. Well, with that, let's take a quick break away from those news things.
Aw, people say he's just a pretty face.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Adam Tingle saw the woman walking her dog Monday afternoon and yelled at her, thinking she was a killer clown. When the woman didn't stop walking, Tingle fired a shot from his rifle, which missed, thankfully.
He had time and a location to grab his rifle.
He's in Kentucky. He's probably hanging in the back of his truck. Yeah, right, Gia.
You know, I apologize for killing this woman, but you
know,
I killed her. I killed her.
Yeah.
But you know,
you killed her?
Nowadays, it's so confusing. All these bitches just wear too much makeup.
Yes, they do.
I was telling Jethro the other day, I'm like, remember when bitches didn't wear makeup? You could wake up the next morning from a club night and say, hey, Bertha looks the same as she did last night. Oh. It's insane. It's insane. Now, when I wake up from a club night, their faces are on the pillow next to me.
I complimented my mama with her lipstick. You know?
I mean, back when I used to have sex with my mother, I mean, she wore the right amount, the right ratio of makeup.
I told my mama it definitely brings out your dick sucking lips.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek From the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, exclusive DC on CW bonus shows.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah.
Best ones.
Supernatural, The Crossroads, and more. So head on over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and sign up today.
Like I said, we do bonus shows all the time. Me and Mike actually just finished Black Lightning. $5 a month, you get hours and hours more content.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back, and let's get right into The Flash Season 4, Episode 10, The Trial of the Flash, directed by Philip Chapera, I think.
Oh, hold on.
Is that some Metallica going on?
Did that mean I got it right?
Yes.
Is that
bonus round now. Can you get the next names?
Oh, God. Lauren, either Certo or Cherto. I don't know. And Kristen Kim. They wrote this episode. All right. So let's get into this episode. This was a solid return to the season. I was completely invested the entire time.
Yeah, for sure.
So the trial of Barry starts, and the team's trying to hold it together and find evidence to free him. Meanwhile, there's kind of a villain of the week, and there's a strong parallel between what's happening in Barry's personal life as Barry Allen and what's happening in the Flash's life as the public perceives him. And it's huge. So let's get right into the couple of major scenes from the episode. First, we've got Joe and Ralph using Ralph's skills as a PI to try to catch the DeVos in a lie, which is freaking perfect. This is the perfect scenario to utilize Ralph's skills that aren't related to stretching or shapeshifting.
I think that's what we always talk about, is like Mike always brings it up. It's your secondary character should support everything that the primary one's going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a perfect example here of how they use Ralph correctly. Mm-hmm. Not just be like, oh, can you like stretch through, like you said, stretch through the window and grab something and see if we could find some DNA or something that way.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think also him just being a PI is a great secondary, like, sub story to his character, and kind of like a great supporting quality for the team, because he might think of things from a different perspective or a different point of view, you know, from a PI that's trying to keep it low key and surveil things. And yeah, we have cops on the team too, but a PI is going to go about it a little bit differently. I think
you always think PI has those seedy people that can help them.
Well,
they got those sketchy contacts.
I like the two of them together too. Is there, because you know he's a former cop, but you kind of have these two partners, and they have a good play off.
The buddy cop.
I like the buddy cop. There was like a little buddy cop action, and they play off each other really well.
It was good. It was a good moment. They catch the DeVos in a kiss through their front window, which ends up not working, but we'll talk about that later. Joe wants to, at one point after that, because it doesn't work, he wants to go plant evidence in the house. And Ralph, in honestly one of his most solid scenes since he has come onto this show, gives Joe a speech about why. Oh yeah, that's a great plan. That's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. You're going to put away a bad woman. And he gives him this whole speech
about how you'll feel better about yourself.
Yeah, you're going to feel really good about this because it was the right thing to do. It was the good thing to do, until it's not. Until the DeVos outsmart you and you've compromised yourself and you have given them a way to take away your badge, to take away your livelihood, to take away the respect of your peers and your family, because you've now become exactly what you never wanted to be and exactly what they're trying to turn you into and exactly what the DeVos are, which is, you know, liars and schemers and criminals. God, I mean, that's that. What it was like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that. And that is the most that I've ever liked Ralph. And I don't dislike him most of the time, but that was solid. And I think it gave us a lot more insight into him as a character because he tries to play everything off with humor all the time.
Well, and it shows his growth, right? Because he came from that exact situation where he did that exact thing. And it's like 180 and now the shoe's on the other foot and teaching a good moral lesson to the younger viewers too. I like that a lot.
Especially with all the time that he's spent with the team, it's nice to have those moments, you know, because he was totally a little jerk when he came onto the team and he was like, yeah, screw it, whatever. And he was just wallowing in his own sorrow, and Barry's really helped him turn around, and so has the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. So now for him to be able to be strong in this moment where he's a little bit less attached to Barry than everyone else. You know, he hasn't been around him for years. He hasn't grown up with him or something, or gone through huge, huge life risking, world saving moments together. So for him to be able to take a back seat and be a little objective and really try and get Joe to see the reality of the situation and not just from an emotional point of view was great. And it really does show that he's grown.
Well, that, and he didn't actually tell him no.
No, I know. And that's what makes it more powerful.
It's like, no, this is your choice. Yeah. I opened the door. I did my thing.
But he knew. You know he knew that Joe wasn't going to go through with it.
How funny would it have been if Joe's like, yeah, all right.
Joe's normally the parent, but Joe got parented hard.
Oh, big time.
Hard.
Is this what it feels like when I talk to you guys?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it. I'm not going to fucking stop you. Yeah. But, you know, just know you're probably going to screw up your life. Shit, you're right. I think it's more effective that way, too.
Yeah. Because, well, that and a lot of people are just so, like, stingy and, like, not willing to bend on things.
Defiant.
Like, yeah, that it's almost easier to make it, like, think, you know, to just not to trick somebody into making it their decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just in general. It's like,
it's loving manipulation.
Yeah.
He should know that as a parent.
Yeah, I know. I always tell Harley, make good choices.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you no, but make good choices.
They didn't even talk about his forthcoming baby. Not once.
Well, I mean, is that really important right now?
When in the grand scheme of things of the trial,
that,
no.
That might explain why she was so shitty as a prosecutor.
Oh, the hormones.
Pregnancy brain.
Oh, my God. She did kind of screw the pooch on this one.
Yeah, they put a lot at stake into her hands. Like, she jumped right at the mission. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't a good choice.
And to be fair, they didn't have a lot of evidence to prove his innocence, so.
Mm.
All right, speaking of the trial, though, the next major, major scene in this entire episode were the closing speeches by the judge and the chief of police. Two entirely opposite opinions from men of power that reflect how the public views these people, but they're the same person. You know, it's the chief talking about bravery, heroism, valor, caring about the men and women that do the physical labor and protect the city and the first responders. You know, that's talking about how they are indebted to the Flash for his service to the city. And he, you know, he pulls through and he cares about the first responders. He cares about the men and women that put their lives on the line. And then meanwhile, you know, we've got a split screen for a few frames and we've got the judge who talks about how Barry Allen is a monster. Basically, he's never seen someone so inhumane, so unmoved, so stoic and unemotional and uncaring. And it's so hard to watch someone talk about Barry Allen that way.
Yeah, it was beautifully edited too. I text Bob, like, the cuts back and forth and how they juxtaposed the two different opinions back and forth, and it seemed like just one coherent sentence.
You always wonder how much goes into, like, coaching of the cadence of how you're going to give this speech so we can properly edit this together.
Well, I mean, you know they did that in the storyboards. You know that they directed the actors to be, you know, emotional in a really specific way about it. That was movie quality directing.
Totally.
Right there. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect storytelling. No.
It was so good. I was having a hard time watching it because it's just so, so on the nose about, you know, yeah, Barry could take the easy way out and be like, I'm the Flash and here's all these reasons why these things can't be explained or whatever. And he could get out of it. But, you know, that's not what a hero does. A hero doesn't take the easy way out. No. A hero sometimes is seen as the villain or takes the blows and takes the brunt of the hatred. It's a very Batman thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's hard as a viewer to watch them talk about our main character, who is a bona fide hero through and through. Barry Allen is a hero. It's hard to watch him say those things about him when we know the DeVos are horrible monsters. They're the ones that are inhumane. They're the ones that are unmoved by, you know, emotions and plight. And I can't imagine what it would actually be like to be like, if Iris West Allen was a real character and this or like a real person and this was really happening, to be in that person's shoes, to watch your spouse get sentenced when you know he's innocent and like you can say it but can't prove it, and everyone thinks that the reason he's so unemotional is because he's just a monster. But
well, her little fidgetiness and snarky looks and whatnot, as what's her face was giving her little, you know, spiel and fake acting while she was up there on the stand, I thought that was awesome. Just kind of throwing shade. She was not having it.
To add depth to the fact that, you know, the team knows that they're shitty people.
They are.
And it's all an act. So this all culminates in Barry being sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, which is a huge, huge deal. And I'm pretty sure that's the same sentence, if not similar, that his father got.
I would almost guarantee that the way they write, that it was probably the exact same.
I'm pretty sure it's the same sentence. I know that his father was sentenced to life in prison. I don't know if it was without the possibility of parole, but that's, you know, either way, still. And there was a wonderful, wonderful moment, too, where Barry stops Iris before he's ever sentenced. He stops Iris from telling everyone that he is the Flash. And he's like vibrating so fast and he's like moving her so fast that they can have a moment. There's so many good scenes in all of this episode. But in the end, Barry ends up in the same cell that Henry Allen was in. And I have to wonder if the prison did that on purpose, you know, like, hey, like father, like son, here
well, that,
you go.
They really haven't explained who the black guy that's like the prison warden is, really. Remember, because he's, you know, harvesting those metas.
Yeah.
So you figure shoving him in that cell is the exact same thing. Or they just like, hey, cut that in there real quick so he knows this is where his dad was.
Right.
I didn't know you go to jail and just carve in.
That's just shitty, though. Like, we know you're the son. We're going to stick you in the same cell. Oh, God.
I wouldn't put it past anyone that worked in a prison. You know what I mean? Like, when you're dealing with murderers and stuff like that, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. I would fully expect that to have been intentional. Sit here and think about what you did and what your father did. But, I mean, his father eventually was exonerated, you know? So, I don't know. Anyway, with that, let's take a quick second to talk about Black Lightning.
Yeah.
We've got a DC on CW exclusive bonus show for our patrons coming up. And if you liked the CW's premiere of Black Lightning, the crew behind DC on CW will discuss and analyze the pilot episode next week as part of our Patreon exclusive broadcast, DC on CW Presents So join Bobby and Mike next week for a special discussion all about the new DC series. Head on over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and subscribe to the podcast tier, and you'll receive this plus hours and hours of additional content. We've got a comic book Chaos coming out soon that Bobby and myself were on. There's tons of stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff out there. Like I said, we just finished Black Lightning right before we're recording right now. And it's a good show. Come out and support and get some more content from your favorite host. Nighttime suit up. This for payback. This our Superman Robin in the back.
Step back. You might get shocked off of contact. All right, so let's talk about the Battle of the Wives. Mrs. Defoe, Marlies, she sucks. She's a bitch.
She's bitchy.
She's the worst. Like, she's not even that happy with her husband being in a new body, and she's still, like, shitty to everyone else. She sucks.
Right, a very svelte body too, right?
Like, how are you mad at that? Like, I know it's not your husband, but the man's good looking.
She doesn't like black guys. Shape.
Wow. So she's not going to watch our DC on CW Presents Black Lightning.
Nope.
Or listen to it. She's not going to watch Black Lightning at all. But yeah, I mean, she's a monster. She is a sociopath because she just starts crying. My poor Clifford, he did all this and that, and just the waterworks.
Yeah, hell of a performance, right?
Oh, yeah. She's a hell of an actress, I'll tell you that much. I love to hate her. She's a good villainous character.
Yeah.
One of those ones that we would see walking around and be like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
But you were awesome.
I hate you, but I respect the hell out of your performance. And so we mentioned earlier that the pictures don't work. The ones that Ralph and Joe get, they don't work. And it's because she's such a smooth bitch. God, like, they try and bring those up and they're like, oh, we see you're kissing this man. And of course, she comes out with this argument of, well, of course, as you know, my husband was older than myself and he had ALS, which was progressing. And
like to jerk off in the corner while I fucked other dudes.
Right. With his mechanical hand.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. And she just kept the waterworks going and got the jury to believe her.
Do you think that DeVoe foresaw all that coming and then coached her and said, look, this is going to happen. Yeah. You got to be ready for it. And here's what to say.
Because that's what he's been doing
the whole time.
The whole time.
I mean, because he even brings it up to Barry. Like, there was a 12% chance you were just going to tell everybody.
Yeah, you were going to tell everybody.
So he's calculated it all out. So you got to figure that anything that they do, they already know. And I think that's what makes this big bad so much different than, like, I just got to get faster and then I'll be able to beat them.
And I mean, there was a little bit of, Zoom already knows the future and stuff. But that's literally just because he lived it and went back.
Yeah.
Right.
This is every little nuanced thing that you do. He knows the possible outcomes of it and is prepared for all of them. He's like super ultra, like if Batman had that power, oh my God, because Batman already can, like, creates contingencies for everything. This is like that on crack.
Yep. High performance calculating machine.
But not high performance in the bedroom, which is why she got a new lover, supposedly. And I mean, but honestly, that was a good cover, I guess. It's just, God. Speaking of those pictures, though, there was a scene that led up to the taking of those pictures. Them together talking and we talked a little bit, we mentioned a little bit about how she isn't really accepting Clifford in his new body. Because she doesn't recognize him, and she actually tries to kind of lie to him for the first time.
Yeah, like that's going to work.
Right. He's telepathic now.
Yeah. Not only am I smart, I can read your mind.
God. That's got to be tough, too. And I feel like she's playing it off really well, but I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a break, a little bit of a rift between Marlies, and Clifford.
You think that's going to be his downfall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think something about his personality might change as well, now being in this new, handsome, upgraded model.
And reading everybody's thoughts.
And reading everyone's thoughts.
It's like Mel Gibson in that movie where you can read all the women's minds. But
what
different.
Women want?
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
She doesn't want that.
She does not. No one wants that. No one wants someone to be able to know what they're thinking all of the time. Because then they, I mean, at that point, why bother saying anything, first of all? And then beyond that, like...
Just because I think it doesn't mean I really feel it.
Or just because I think it doesn't mean I need everyone to know it or you to know it. You know, I don't want the person I'm dating to know my every single thought.
I think it's going to cause... It would cause a rip, right?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't have any thoughts that were your own without somebody just peering in.
And sometimes you think something, but it's a little bit selfish and you know... using maturity and the ability to control your emotions and not be entirely selfish, you keep that to yourself and you talk yourself out of it. You know what I mean? Like, even if this new body was a little bit off-putting to her at first because, oh, this isn't my husband, it's like kissing a stranger, that's pretty normal. I feel like that would be incredibly, like, rational thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be like, oh, what, you don't like it? He's putting her on the spot, and she's trying not to be unkind. She's like, no, it's fine. And she can't even do that. She can't even do him a courtesy, like, white lie.
Nope.
So
he caught her.
It's going to cause some problems.
that's a sad thing. Like, just a little white lie, and we all know those are good, whether people agree with that or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes it's just better to be like, all right, you know. Yes, it looks great on you, Steve. Just safer that way.
Right.
Could you guys deal with having, like, could you accept your significant others in a new body if they had to, like, body hop? Like, if someone you didn't recognize.
That's a loaded question.
I know. But
that's so loaded.
I mean, it would all matter. Like, I would just feel awkward at first, I think. I'm going to go with my whole theory because I've been with Deb forever. Like, if, like, her personality was in, like, a completely different body, I would probably feel awkward, like I was cheating at first, and probably, like, jizz in, like, 2 seconds because it's something new.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to go with the whole sexual side of this.
It's kind of like driving a new car, right? You're driving a certain automobile for a few years, and then you trade it in, and you get a different one. And
I do not think of females as automobiles, Steve.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yes, you, the first,
they're
the
people.
The first couple of days, you know, like the switches are in different spots, and you're not used to it. But then once you get used to it,
what if that was a thing? Like, he used to like me doing this, or you liked her, like she liked this, and then you try to do that. Like, I don't like that now. Something physically made up in my body that says,
well, in her case, something huge is different, right?
Oh, geez.
Well,
stereotypes.
But I mean, honestly, I think it would be entirely rational and normal and yeah, whatever to feel a little awkward about it because you're looking at someone that doesn't look like who you're used to.
Any new relationship is like that, though. That when you start dating, you gotta work out the kinks.
But I mean, I think honestly, their personality, once you really start to recognize that beyond the physical features, they're probably going to have the same mannerisms. They're probably, if they speak with their hands, they're probably still going to do that a lot. They're still probably going to do the same,
like weird words, like
weird words or weird expressions on their face when they experience different things, stuff like that. So I think after a little bit of time, you know, you would start to notice those little things that you know, used to notice about them before, you would start noticing them again and then realize, okay, this is the same person.
The quirks.
And as long as, they're quirks. And as long as they didn't totally change major parts of their personality after, like maybe they turned into a total douchebag because they got a super hot body and maybe they weren't so hot before. You know, like, that's an extreme situation.
You mean if they turned into, like, a gym douche?
Yeah, right? Gym rat?
Big selfies of themselves flexing all the time.
First lips and ooh, have you seen the bathroom? Oh, it's this way.
Oh, God.
Flexing. All right, so let's talk about Iris and Marlies talking and Iris confronting Marlies. and her still trying to shed the crocodile tears and, oh, we shouldn't be seen speaking to each other. It's inappropriate. And
cut the act.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah,
cut it. It off.
That was a great scene. And we see just how dedicated Marlies is to this project, this goal with Clifford. And I don't even know if it's that she's, I mean, she's entirely dedicated to him, which may or may not change, but oh my God. And she calls Iris out and says, you know, what are you willing to do for your husband? Like, I'm willing to do anything for mine. Like, nyeh, 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 nyeh.
Yeah, she kind of threw the gauntlet down.
Yeah. Which is what causes Iris to go back in the courtroom and try and out Barry Allen as the Flash. And that wonderful moment happens where he's, you know, everything else is still around them because he's moving the two of them so fast. And even he doesn't know how he's doing it. And that scene was really wonderful. And it was really nice to see them get a moment in all of this chaos to really break down.
It was another cool shot.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to do it. Like, they weren't going to do anything fancy like they did. I thought she was actually
going to... It was going to be straight up.
Yeah, I was preparing for it.
I believed it 100%. I believed that she was going to tell the whole world, effectively, that Barry Allen is the Flash. Honestly, that's got to be one of the toughest decisions to make. You know, you're sitting there and you know how you can save your spouse, but it puts him at risk. It puts
everyone
at risk. Everyone that you've ever worked with, your family, your friends, your colleagues, everyone.
But it also comes full circle back to what Bobby was saying earlier. Dibny gave Joe a choice, and she was taking Barry's choice away by doing that.
Yeah.
Not her choice to make. He'd already made his choice, and he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, he decided against it, and she was going to make the choice for him and take away his power to decide at all. But honestly, I don't blame her. I don't blame her for having that moment of, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it for you. Like, that desperate last stand, that Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
Well, he just got married. Right.
And he was, and before that, he was gone. He was in the Speed Force for
6 months and now the rest of his life.
You know, I mean, this is just.
She can't catch a break, this woman.
I don't blame her for desperately wanting to pursue her husband's freedom and to salvage that.
Now, devil's advocate, though. She did have, like, what, the last two decades that she could have spent with him. So.
Yeah. Well, you're right. But you can't control when you catch feelings. You can't. I don't know. I don't think that I could have done much better than Iris, especially because, like, you know, she turned it around and he convinced her, and she took it like a champ. She she broke down a little bit, like, when he got sentenced, but she stood by him. She stood by her husband and let him make his choice, and she's going to continue to stand by him. I don't know how much telling the world that he's the Flash would have actually done for Barry Allen.
I was wondering that the whole time when they were, like, debating that, because it doesn't stop him from, like, I am the Flash.
Okay,
cool,
but you still
kill all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
You still killed him.
Well, it doesn't change the evidence.
Right.
It just would have changed their view of him and might have swayed the jury.
So you're a murdering... Maybe. Meta human.
Oh, perfect.
So you just murdered one, but you saved like a million. So that ratio gets you out of jail.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the courtroom stuff. We've got the prosecutor. He was a jerk.
Yeah. Real A1 douche.
But, I mean, he played a great prosecutor. Now, was he on the human target?
He was the human target.
Was he?
Yes.
I thought we already had the human target.
No, he was the human target when they did the human target TV show.
No, I know. I thought we already...
I was on IMDb looking him up because he looks so damn familiar, yeah. But I just couldn't place it. And even after looking, I was like, it still wasn't resonating with me.
Okay.
Like visually.
What we had before was just a new human target new, character. Yeah. Right. Okay.
No, now this was the actual human target from the Fox show.
They sure
back
do like to keep those DC TV alums around.
Yeah. Well, that was the same way with Steve. Like, I was looking at him going, I recognize him, but I don't know what you've been in, but I know you've acted before.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the chief of police, David Singh, was brought to the stand to testify against Barry. And, oh man, is this rough? Because you can tell that he is so torn between doing his job, especially as chief, and I don't know, not selling Barry out, I guess. Because even though he's got all this evidence stacked against him, he still views Barry as a good person and one of the good ones, which is a quote directly from the episode. And you can tell throughout the episode, the little bit that we do see of him, he's having a hard time reconciling his emotional attachment to and what he knows to be true about Barry's character with the evidence that's stacked against him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barry's worked his ass off. So yeah. Many cases, done the work, the long hours, and always came through.
Yeah. Well, and they bring up, you know, when Barry was working his ass off, but was also spazzy, you know, saying, you know, oh, would you cover for Barry Allen? You know, you're in a position of power.
They set that up so well.
God. And talking about how he was late.
Yeah, his line of questioning. It's what they would do, right? They would just keep
They would
poking.
Set you up. Yeah. Like, yeah, answer this one. Oh, that's not the right answer because you covered for him. He was late all these times.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I don't know if him mentioning, well, Barry's not late anymore, you know, that... I don't know how much that would have helped. That honestly could have given them another, oh, see, so there was a shift in his character. So he used to be one of the good ones, but now all of a sudden he's not late anymore and he's not, you know.
He doesn't want to draw attention to himself because he's a murderer.
Yeah, see, like no matter what you say, you're screwed because they can find something.
We'll spin it some way.
But 72 times.
72.
I had a job in college and I was late, you know, pretty often. I was late just hanging, you know, artwork at a gallery. It was the only job I ever got fired from, just for showing up late. And I'm talking like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they canned my ass.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a city job.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. It's real hard to fire somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was just, it was rough. And Cecile has been touted as a great attorney, a great lawyer. I don't know if anyone else could have done a better job than her because the evidence is so stacked against Barry.
But I didn't notice on her desk, you know, usually on a defending attorney's desk, there's usually piles and stacks of like folders to like support your case. She had nothing. She had like a yellow notepad and that was it. This is what I got.
Yeah. For me, it was hard because it didn't seem like she had any kind of follow-ups.
No.
Like yeah. For anything. It was like, here's a picture of you kissing another man. Yeah, well, you know, I got to get my physical pleasure somewhere. Good answer.
Good answer.
I rest.
I rest. Rest my case.
God. I mean, yeah, she really didn't pull through for Barry.
But look at him. He's cute. He's got a smile. He's a good guy.
He's a good boy.
Look at him. He likes treats.
He does. You want to give him a Scooby snack?
Speaking of treats, how will Barry survive in jail?
I was thinking about his metabolism.
Barry, tasty
that.
Treat. Oh, you're thinking, oh, he needs to eat.
I'm not talking about his ass. Jesus, Steve.
Jesus.
You're talking about he's getting molested in jail.
That's a different kind of treat. Like, some would argue that's not a treat at all. It just depends on your
which side
personal
of the,
preferences.
Which side kind of the cookie I was looking for, buddy.
God.
Right, though? He's got to eat so much food to keep his weight up and his metabolism
going. Yeah, that's a good point.
Prison slop ain't going to do him good.
Yeah, but Cisco can warp his butt in there. And
guess if you can just run out and go get a pizza and run back.
Yeah, but he doesn't. I mean, he's so adamant about not running. He wasn't even running at home with Iris, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he could run back.
I know, but he was adamant about not running away in such an emotional such an emotional, like, I don't know. He's making a point. You know what I mean? Like, he's being stubborn and making a point about not using his powers. And I have to wonder, I know his metabolism goes crazy, but also it's worse when he uses his speed. So I wonder if they're just going to be like, oh, well, he's not using his feet, so he just needs normal food.
I can't remember, though. Did he, his cell have a window in it?
No.
Okay, so the only option is for Cisco to airdrop food through a portal.
No, because he can phase through the wall.
Well, yeah, but to her point, if he uses his powers, then he needs more energy and he doesn't want to run.
Cisco's
That's fair, yeah.
Just vibing fucking food through the
walls. That's the only
option. Have some hamburgers, man.
Where did this come from? I don't know.
He's got all this, these wrappers and candy bar wrappers. where's he going to put the trash?
That's what I would do, dude. I would just start like getting Cisco to smuggle me drugs in so I could just become the king of the jail.
Ooh,
that way I wouldn't
cigarettes.
Have to worry about it.
Yeah. Cigarettes. Yeah.
Currency.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. A way better way than smuggling these things in my tush. I'm not keistering anything.
Oh, God. That's not what you do with your butt. It doesn't go there. Honestly, yeah. I mean, it was... I don't even feel like I was let down by Cecile, though. Like, it felt like everyone was just kind of so exasperated by all of this. And just there was such an air of defeat. And they wanted to keep fighting and they wanted to keep hoping. But you could tell that there was just... Everyone was just so in awe of how badly the DeVos had outsmarted them that...
They felt defeated.
Yeah, you could feel it throughout the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to feel that way. They didn't want to act that way. They wanted to, you know, keep their heads held high and keep looking for evidence. And everyone was trying, but God, did it get to all of them.
Would this have been a better mid-season finale than a comeback? To where we would have been like, shit, Barry's in jail.
You know,
that's
what?
A good question.
For a second, I wanted to say yes, but honestly, no, because you need something strong to bring you back into the series. Him getting arrested for murder was a pretty good cliffhanger to end episode on for the mid-season finale.
It was.
And this to me was the strongest episode back from mid-season break. Out of the three that have come back.
Yes, by far.
This is easily the strongest. I was completely invested the entire time. My heart felt heavy. I felt that weight on my shoulders and just disappointed and bereaved and like all of these things, you know?
Yeah, because you came back from the break thinking, all right, we're getting this trial and they'll make it out. Yeah, they'll find a way. They'll make it out of this situation.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
Yeah. And it's just, oh man, like from a storytelling perspective, it's great to have something different happen. And sometimes it's great to watch your heroes fail and to watch them not just easily fight their way out of things. And sometimes they really get the shit end of the stick. But it's tough. It's a heavy episode.
He could take an appeal.
Well, in
eventually.
And the way their court system goes, that'll be over in a day, too.
Yeah, right. God, I mean, yeah, sentencing, pre-sentencing and everything were like, that was all in the same day. What? That's crazy.
But good to know that if you are out on bail, you don't have to sit there.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to your shit.
Yeah, I'm going to go out here.
Not for like closing statements, at least.
Yeah, I'll be back later for sentencing.
I feel like Cecile should have used that, too, like putting someone else above himself, even when he's on the line. That would have been a good argument, too. Like, clearly you can see that he's, you know, he cares about others and he's willing to take more shit for himself for someone else who's in need. No. All right, final thoughts on this episode. Bob, I feel like you always go last, so you go first.
Again, the thing that shocked me was just kind of going through reviews online and people didn't understand why we had the villain of the week going along. And it shocked me because it was just beautiful writing. And it's weird to see what is considered, I would consider the smartest team out of the Arrowverse, just can't do fucking anything right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a cool bad guy when they talked about like a non-speedster being like the big bad. And you're like, well, what can he do? And it's just like, we still don't know what DeVoe's final plan is. He's just kind of just fucking around with Barry. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You're not like, there's no world domination type thing going on here. It's like, I just don't like you, buddy. You know, we haven't had some kind of long ass monologue yet explaining why they're doing what they're doing. And it, like you said, it was the strongest of the three comebacks for the winter break. So
totally. Steve.
Yeah, I agree with Bob. And I saw the same complaints online about wanting it only being one episode. It's like, you can't have a 3 or 4 episode arc.
This isn't the trial of OJ.
Right.
It's the 11-part miniseries.
This is Flash. It's not Law and Order.
Cecile cross-examines this episode.
Boring.
Boring.
We need to get back to the action. I really liked that they brought in Fallout. I thought they did an amazing job. The visual effects on that were really good. And he looked the part, and I liked how that guy played that character. It was well done. I liked everything about it. It was a really good season, mid-season opener.
There was a lot of really good visuals this episode, even though we didn't get a lot of superhero stuff going on. You know, it was a very courtroom-based episode. It was a lot of just dealing with what's happening in their personal lives for the most part. But yeah, I mean, I got to say, I really liked the way they did Fallout. I liked the way they handled the character as well. You know, I liked that this week they weren't fighting someone who was maliciously trying to hurt people.
Yeah, he didn't know.
He was just a dude going about his business and didn't realize.
I just drive waste, man.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
And then, like, when he realizes, he has a freak out because he's, you know, I didn't want to hurt anybody. What's going on? I'm freaking out because my body's out of whack and I'm clearly harming the people around me. What the hell? You know, it was a different type of villain, and it was the perfect type of villain to have for this episode and this week. And I think that was another parallel of, you know, sometimes someone that doesn't mean to do anything but good ends up harming someone around them, or ends up totally screwed and getting just destroyed in the eyes of the public or whatever else, or the eyes of the people around him, just because of bad circumstances. And that's kind of what Barry's going through as a civilian, you know? This episode was super heavy. It was really good. It was beautifully written and directed. There were no bad performances this episode. This was, I mean, dare I say, a perfect episode.
I'd say it was pretty close.
I mean, there's, of course, like little things here and there, but it was as close to perfect as I think you're going to get on The Flash. You know what I mean? Like, for this show, it was, it had everything you could want from it. And some of those things are things that you don't want for the characters. So it was a solid return to the series. I think I'm even more invested than I was when I stepped away from the mid-season finale. And
Do you think Barry's going to carve his name in the wall?
Probably. Hi, Dad.
And then Bart can do it.
Yeah, right? When he has the trial of the Flash and he inevitably gets imprisoned in a federal prison. Perfect. All right. Well, with that, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW, the Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. And be sure to follow us on social media. We've got Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW. And our Instagram is at DC_on_CW. We'll catch you next time. Stay tuned for Arrow.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.